chapter 33 tonight, Exodus chapter 33. If you'll find your place there. This is our Old Testament book that we're studying through together. I appreciate this good crowd on Sunday night. God bless you. Thank you for coming. It is our privilege again to have Brother Miss Deku with us. We want him to feel right at home here. And I'm looking forward to for you precious people who plan to go to Fiji to meet with them after church tonight. And we're excited to have you folks here. God bless you. Appreciate how the Lord's been using you down through the years. Exodus chapter 33, if you're keeping notes with me as I preach through this book together with you, I'm preaching on the opening 17 verses. Exodus chapter 33, verse 1 through 17. I want to read one verse of Scripture to get our title, and then we will plow right into this. Exodus chapter 33, notice verse 14. And he, God, said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Notice God is telling Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Notice the two words, "my presence." And tonight I want to preach to you on this subject, the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought. Father, we thank you for what our eyes have seen and our ears have already heard in this service. We do pray for the ministry that you have given Brother Deku and his dear wife and his dear children. Thank you that they're serving you as a family. We give you praise for them. Thank you for the honor of having them here. And I pray that you'll help them, Lord, to be refreshed by being in this service at Buffalo Ridge. Speak to our hearts tonight. Challenge us from your word. And may you help me, Lord, to be filled with the power of God. If there's anything in my life that's hindering your presence from being felt, would you remove it? Get it out of my life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to the passage that's before us, traveling through this book, we're reminded of what has just taken place. While Moses was up on the mountain in communion with God, the people grew impatient, remember, and demanded for Aaron to make them a god to go before them. Aaron had them bring their golden earrings, and Aaron fashioned them into a golden calf. That's all in chapter 32. The Lord knew all about that, what was going on, and he told Moses about it up on the mountain. When Moses came down off the mountain and saw the golden calf, he became angry, and he threw the two tables of stone out of his hands and broke them at the bottom of the mountain, thus signifying that these people had broken the law of God by making this golden calf as an idol. But in spite of their terrible sin, you remember, Moses went to the Lord pleading for mercy upon these sinful people. The Lord showed mercy upon them. However, they were plagued, you remember, by the Lord for their great sin, because sin has consequences. And now moving into the next chapter, chapter 33, right in the wake of the golden calf, we see this story continues. And as I was studying these particular verses, I was planning on preaching on the entire chapter, and the Lord said, "You're trying to bite off too much, Jody." As I was studying on this chapter, I got out of my office, and I began to walk around the church property just meditating and praying upon this passage, thinking about it. And as I was on the back side of the property out here in the grass, the Lord began to open this passage up to me and began to show me things. See that, see that, see that. So I figured I probably better get inside where I can get it on paper right quick. You know what I mean? And while so many things could be said about these verses, the Lord opened this passage up to me to impress upon me what was really on display. And what's really on display in these opening 17 verses is the presence of the Lord. Him being among his people. Now, friends, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about the Lord being inside of you. I'm talking about you experiencing the presence of the Lord with you. You understand what I'm talking to you about? I'm talking about when he moves near, when he comes close, and when he allows us just to be close beside of him. This is what I'm talking about. And God told Moses, he said, "My presence will go with you." And I submit to you, the presence of the Lord is what this passage is truly about. Before I get to the outline here concerning the presence of the Lord, may we all realize tonight from the very outset here in the introduction that we need in our lives the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do without many things in this life, but one thing we cannot do without is the presence of the Lord. We need Him. We need His presence among us. We need Him close to us. I want to note with you several things in these opening 17 verses about the presence of the Lord. Simple thoughts tonight, but may God use them to challenge our hearts. Number one, the presence of the Lord, first of all, we see the removal of it. The removal of the presence of the Lord. Look at verse number one and following. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Notice this, verse 3. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Look at verse number 7. And Moses took the tabernacle. Now this is not the tabernacle that is going to be under construction that he just came off the mountain with. This is a tent, so to speak. He took the tabernacle, the tent, and pitched it without the camp. Notice this, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. See, the first thing we note in these verses is how the presence of God, the presence of the Lord, can be removed from His people. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about His influence, His closeness, where He is in your life, coming close to you and allowing you to get close to Him. This can be removed in our lives. It's interesting to note how the Lord opened this chapter. If you'll look at it there in the opening two verses all the way down through the first part of verse number 3, the Lord opens these verses with His promise that He gave to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And He said this, even though you've sinned, because this is in the wake of chapter 32, the golden calf. He said, even though you've sinned and you've done this great sin, I want you to understand something before I start talking about my presence. My promise that I gave to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, it is still a true promise, no matter what you do. I like it that that's the case. This wicked sin of the Israelites did not affect the unconditional promise of the Lord to their ancestors. But notice, there's something their sin did affect. And that is, He said, I'm going to send an angel because I'm not going to go with you. Because you're a stiff-necked people. Even in verse number 7, we see how Moses, when he set up the place where God's presence would be, it was set up without the camp, notice it now, afar off from the camp. This all goes to show that while sin does not negate the promises of God, it can cause something terrible. It can cause the removal of God's presence in our lives. God's promise was not forfeited, but His presence was. One man said, you may lose many things in life, but the worst loss is to lose the presence of God. Sin removes the presence of the Lord, and friends, it's not worth it. God's presence will not dwell with a stiff-necked people. And may I say this to you? Every time we sin and we set up golden calves in our lives, God says you're a stiff-necked people. And listen, you still have my promises, but you're not going to have my presence if you're going to live that way. We see, first of all, the removal of it. I want you to write down Judges chapter 16, verses 1 to 4, and then verses 16 through 21. This is the story of a man named Samson. And he takes the bars and gates and all and walks off and goes to the Valley of Sorek. The Valley of Sorek was right in the middle, you see, right living on the edge, right on the border. And it's in that valley that he meets a lady by the name of Delilah. And Delilah starts trying to set him up, saying, where's your strength? Because the Philistines are wanting to find his strength. And I'm paraphrasing these verses. Even though the Philistines did not know where his strength lay, they knew where his weakness lay. It lay in this ungodly woman that he had no business having any dealings with. Long story short here, he tells her his secret, that his strength is found in the symbolism of his long hair. Not in his long hair, but the symbolism of it, that God's presence was upon his life. And she pressured him and caused him to fall asleep on her knees, and she called in the Philistine barbers. And I call it the most expensive haircut that's ever been given. And they cut off his hair. And she said, "The Philistines be upon you, Samson." And the Bible says he got up and said, "I'll shake myself like any other time." But he said he wished not that the Lord had departed from him. May I say this to you? God has made this life to be a life where we need him. When he says, "Without me ye can do nothing," that's exactly what he means. And when we choose to have sin in our camp, we are causing the removal of the presence of the Lord. We see its removal. Number two, we see its restoring. You say, what do you mean here? I'm glad that toward the end of these verses, we see the Lord telling Moses, "Okay, I'll go with you." That's what he's doing. See, in the first part he said, "I'm not going to go with you. You're a stiff-necked people." But something happened between verse number 3 and all the way down through verse number 17. Something happened that caused the Lord to say, "Okay, I will go with you." His presence was restored. Now I want to look at this because I'm glad to announce to you that when we find ourselves with the presence of the Lord removed from us, may I say this to you? If you've lived long enough, you understand that there's times in our life when we have ushered the presence of the Lord away from us. You know what I'm talking about. Has there been times when God has been afar off from you? Sure. But during that time, I'm glad it doesn't have to stay that way. He can be restored back to our lives. And I submit to you, this is what God showed me out in the back of the church park, back here in the grass. Maybe I need to put a desk out there in the open field. He showed me some things. What happened when you walk through these verses? What happened to cause his presence to come back to them? I submit to you four things. I want to give these to you. First of all, they were broken. Look at verse number 4. Notice this. "And when the people heard these evil things," notice this, "they mourned. And no man did put on him his ornaments." Notice this now. I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit. God told them in verse number 2 that he's going to send an angel. Let me ask you a question. Would you be happy if God said, "I'm going to give you a personal angel to usher you to the promised land"? Most of us say, "Really? I'll take it." But they realized when he said, "I'm going to send an angel." Exactly. He was saying, "You have forfeited the best for the second best." And they got broken over it. You know what this word mourn means? It means that they were weeping. They were brokenhearted, and all because they heard this news, "I will not go with you." Let me ask you a question. Can you do without the presence of God? No, we can't. But does it bother you when you don't have it? When's the last time when you felt God's presence afar off from you, when's the last time that broke your heart and you began to weep and get humble before God? Psalm 51:17, the chapter where David is getting right with God after his sin with Bathsheba, he said, "The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is nigh." He comes nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Step number one to restoring the removal of God's presence, when God's presence removes from us because of sin in our life and he's not going to get close to us, he's afar off from us, his influence, his power, you understand what I'm talking about. When that happens, step number one, get broken over your sin. Step number two, obey whatever God tells you to do. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse number four. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, saying unto the children of Israel, you're a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Notice, therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. See it? See it? See, verse number four says they took all their ornaments off. All these extravagances off. And then verse number five says the reason they did it is because God told them to. That's why they did. See, friends, the Lord had told these people to put off their ornaments so he could see what he's going to do to them. And these verses say, no man did put on him his ornaments, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. This was seemingly an act of humility before the Lord, to take off the costly things you see before him and stand there just plain and ordinary, waiting for judgment, so to speak. And this tells me that these people listened to what God told them, and they humbly obeyed. Here's the point, friends. Another step to restore the presence of God in our lives is not only, I'm talking about getting broken because we're the one that caused him to move far away, but then to go to him and say, whatever you want me to do, my answer's yes. I will start obeying you. I will listen to you. No matter what you tell me to do, my answer is yes to you. That's step number two to restore his presence. You want God to come close to you? Get broken over your sin. You want God to come close to you? Obey him, whatever he tells you to do. Number three, worship him. You see this in verse number seven and following. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass that when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped. Every man in his tent door. Step number one, get broken over your sin that caused him to leave. Step number two, obey his voice. Step number three, even when he's afar off, fall down and worship him. See, these verses tell us that when Moses went out into the tabernacle, and all the people looked after him, and the cloudy pillar of God's presence came down and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and God spoke with Moses. And when the people saw the presence of God from a distance, they worshiped. This means they reverenced him. They paid homage to him, so to speak. They bowed before him. Get this, another step to restore the presence of God when he's afar off is, even when he's afar off and you know it, you still just fall down and give him worship and praise. Bow before him in humble reverence, giving him the glory due unto his name. Let me give you the fourth and final thing. Number one, they were broken over their sin that caused the presence of God to remove afar off. They began to obey what he told them to do. They worshiped him even while he was afar off. And number four, we see what their leader did, and that is Moses prayed. He prayed. What a prayer it was. In verses 12 through 16, read this with me. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. By the way, as we read through this, notice how often the word grace is mentioned. Verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Pause. Here's what Moses is saying. He's saying, you've not even told me who's going. Wait a minute, God said I'm sending an angel. Moses said, you've not told me who's going. Because all he said is an angel. Could it be that Moses say, which angel are you talking about, God? Because here's what I want you to see. If your presence does not go, don't make us go. Don't make us go any farther without you going with us. Because an angel is not big enough, God. We need you among us. He's praying. He's begging God here. Verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Grace, 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 grace. Anytime God comes close to people and allows them to walk with him in their midst, it's grace, grace, grace. And God Almighty responded to the prayer of a man of God pleading in grace for his presence. In this we see Moses pleading with the Lord to go with them. Moses requested for the Lord to show him his way. He said, show me your way that I may know you, God. He asked the Lord to consider the nation as his own people. And in all of this, we see Moses pleading for God's presence among his people. He wanted to know God, and he wanted to know God's way. And to this kind of praying, I want to know you, God. I want to know your way, God. I don't want to go without you, God. God said, my presence will go with you. I'm telling you, what a blessing this must have been to Moses. And at this point, Moses said, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. He's saying, if you don't go, I don't want to go. If you don't go, let us just stay right here. May I say this to you? Another step to restore God's presence is to get on your face and just beg him for it. Because that's exactly what Moses is doing. You know, another interesting thing about this note here, again, is how the Lord had told him that he would send an angel. But Moses did not want an angel. He wanted God. And while many here would be content to have an angel go, Moses realized that compared to the presence of God, an angel's only second best. Moses didn't want second best. He wanted the presence of God. And one man said, for Israel, they may gain Canaan and all its riches and comforts and be a powerful military country, but it's no consolation for the loss of God's presence. And I say amen to that. Moses understood God's presence makes all the difference, and he did not want to go another step without it. Here's what I'm saying. In this prayer, you see a man of God begging God for his presence. And you see a man of God hungry for God's presence. In Moses' prayer, we see him begging him and hungry for him. Let me ask you a question. Are you hungry for the presence of God in your life? Do you hunger for him? Are you begging him for his presence? Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 42:2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 84:2, my soul longeth, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. You know what we need? We need men of God, women of God, husbands and wives, moms and dads, Sunday school teachers, bus captains, deacons, church members, choir members, you name it, staff members, all the way through a pastor. We need people who get hungry for God. Just hungry for Him. Not what comes with Him, but for Him. May I say to you that if an angel walked into this auditorium tonight, an angel walked in here, be the most beautiful sight that we've ever seen. If Michael or Gabriel walked in here and said, I'm going to stand right beside you all the way through your life, don't you think we'd be encouraged by that? Sure. But not Moses. Not Moses. You want to be a leader like Moses? Nothing takes the place of God. Nothing. Not even an angel. What happened? God removed His presence from them. Why? Because of their sin. What happened? God restored His presence to them. Why? Because they got broken before Him. They began to obey Him. They worshiped Him even when He was afar off. And their leader got on his face and begged Him for His presence and got hungry for Him and said, we don't want an angel. We want you. God responded. God said, my presence will go with you. It was restored. But I close with this thought. And that is, we see the result of it. What is the result of the Lord's presence? It's one word. My presence will go with thee, verse 14, and I will give you what? There's the result. I will give you rest. May I say this to you? What the world is searching for is that little four-letter word. R-E-S-T. May I say this to you? What the Lord told Moses that would happen because of His presence that comes in, that comes back among them, and He's going to lead them. He says this, I will give you rest. And for that, what He said, it should cause every person who's listening to me to fall on their face and beg God for the presence of Jesus Christ. Because let me say something to you. You know what this word rest means? Now let this speak to your heart. You know what it means? It means, and I will settle you down. It means, and I will give you comfort. It means, and I will give you quietness. Wait a minute. Were there a lot of battles in their future? Yes or no? Yes. Were there ups and downs? Yes or no? Yes. But God said, if you have me in your midst, in the middle of it all, I'll give you quietness. I'll give you comfort. I'll settle you down. Now get this. While this could be a reference to the comfort Moses needed at that moment, or whether it's ultimately the destination the Lord was taking them to, a place of rest, the lesson is when you have God's presence, He gives you rest. What we all need here is the rest that's only found in the presence of the Lord. You know, life has its way of throwing things at us that cause us to be rushed, unsettled, unquiet, discomforted. But with the presence of the Lord, there comes rest. In the midst of the journey, you can find rest in the presence of God. At the end of the journey, there's an eternal rest for the people of God. But let us rejoice in this rest that's in Jesus Christ through the journey. Let me ask you a question. Do you need this rest tonight? Do you need to find quietness, comfort? Is there something right now that has your spirit, your inside, your mind, your heart? Is there something that's trying to shake you, agitate you, unsettle you? You know what is the answer to times like that? To get broken before God because of any sin that may be in our life. To begin to obey whatever God tells us to do, to worship Him, to beg him for his presence and get hungry for his presence. Because even when life is in turmoil, when God shows up, he speaks peace, quietness, comfort, rest. I hesitate to call names. And she may be listening now. But oh, I think of Mrs. Woodard. The trial that that dear lady's going through. But yet I've heard her say with her own lips, I'm at peace with this. I'm at peace with this. You know what she's telling us? She's telling us that God is with her. And while life has thrown a major curveball, she has found rest in the presence of the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm speaking to somebody tonight. You need to find peace. You need to find rest. You need to find the quiet place, the comfort. You need to be settled down. And I'm telling you, I can't do it for you. But the presence of the Lord can. So the greatest thing, in my opinion, that you can ask God for tonight is for his presence. Because with his presence comes rest. That little song that it's quickly becoming one of my favorite, it only comes with the presence of the Lord. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains, it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Get it now. Coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Let me conclude this message by saying we desperately need the presence of the Lord. His presence is what sets us apart from the rest of the world. That's verse 16 where he says, is it not right here? For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated. You know what that word separated means? It means distinguished. So shall we be distinguished from everybody else. What distinguishes God's people from everybody else? You know what it is? The presence of God. That's what it is. And we can experience this presence only because of grace, grace, grace. And let us realize that when we sin, we're sending the presence of God afar off. And when we find ourselves with God's presence removed, let us get broken because of our sin. Obey his commands, worship him, and pray with a hunger for his presence in our lives because we desperately need the rest that only comes from him. Would you agree with me that we need God's presence in our life? Yes. Then I challenge us with verse number 11 that says, when Moses left the tabernacle, Joshua departed not out of it. There's a young man who realized Moses may be going back to the people to share the word of God, but I'm having a time of my life right here in the tabernacle because this is where God is. And may we determine that we will not leave the tabernacle until God says, I'm going with you. Amen or not tonight, friends. This is what we need. We don't need new programs, and I'm for them. We don't need new ministries, and I'm for them. We don't need great buildings. I'm for them. What we need is for God to say, my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. That's what we need. And may the Lord help us to do everything we can to make sure His presence is not afar off, but His presence is going with us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this service. Pray that You'll speak to our hearts, challenge us from the Word of God. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. Simple invitation tonight as we prepare. Are you 100% sure that you're a Christian? Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? Do you know without a doubt that if the Lord called your name next, that you know that you're going to heaven? If you do, it's a great thing to know that. If not, you can come tonight. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want to do that tonight. Man with a man, a lady with a lady. But really tonight, the emphasis is not for lost people, even though we share that just in case there may be somebody lost here. The emphasis tonight is for God's children. And my question to you is, where is God's presence in your life? Is He afar off from you? Has He moved outside of camp because there's something displeasing to Him? You say, yes, 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 that's me. Then let your sin break your heart and get broken before God, realizing that even though it doesn't affect His promises, thank God for that, it does affect His presence. And get humble before God, obey Him, worship Him, and beg Him in humility and hunger that His presence will return. I think it'd be great tonight for folks who are just hungry for God, or folks who need to get something right with God, to get on their face and say, God, I need You. I need You. So without any singing tonight, right now, no, we're not singing, just playing through, right now, if you want to come and just prostrate yourself before God. Some are responding already. Get out of your seat. Come on now. Would you do it? It's, I want God's presence in my life. I need God's presence in my life. And I don't want to cause Him to move afar off. I want Him to come near. I want Him to use me. Father, take it, use it, I pray. May Your will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no singing. Now's your time. Come on, come talk to God about it. Get out of your seat and come talk to the Lord. Come now. Come now. Come now. Are you hungry for God? Do you have a desire for God and God's presence to be manifest in your life, to go with you, to give you rest? Have you tonight say, Jody, I need rest. I need this rest. I need it. 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 I need this rest. God knows it. I need this rest. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? That's several of you. There's only one place you can find it. And that's the presence of God. That's it. That's it. Talk to God about it. Ask God to give you rest, to give you peace. May the Lord help you. Father, we love You tonight and thank You for the privilege of being here. And as we meditate on Your presence in our lives, I pray that You'll help us, Lord, to ever live as close to You as we possibly can. And any time that You reveal to us that we have caused Your presence to depart, help us to get broken, obedient, to worship You, and to pray and beg You for Your presence to come back. And may we find rest and peace in Your presence. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me dismiss all those who are going to the meeting to Fiji. You're not going to Fiji. You're going to the meeting about Fiji in the blue room. You can be dismissed right now. Thank you for being here. Brother Deku, Miss Deku, God bless you. Brother Gary, I've got something for them here. We're privileged to have them here. Make sure that they get that before they leave, okay? If you're interested in going to that meeting, now's your time to go. Let me just give you just a little bit of a head start, and then we'll be dismissed tonight, okay? Thank you for being here tonight. Good Sunday night crowd. Be back tomorrow night now. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Joe Arthur. You don't want to miss it. And if you ladies will sign up for the nursery that committed to do that, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight.